This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour three kicks off live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Become a member.
Don't mind if I do.
The official credit union of 3&8. Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. I just think the Patriots just might be kind of done. I mean, they might just be like
done.
Just middle of the pack. No, like just not special ever again.
It's like we said, Tom Brady was done last year, and he had a pretty good year.
Maybe Davey's take was it was all about the Patriots' way, and it had nothing to do with Tom Brady. And Tom Brady was a system quarterback and washed, and then went out and won a Super Bowl. So I'm just thinking maybe Davey was just 180 degrees off.
Nah, they were average through the regular season. He just happened to turn it on in the postseason.
So you can at least admit that he's the clutchest quarterback of all time? Is that what we're going with?
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
All right.
Hard to argue that.
Yeah, I mean.
Just saying.
A lot of big drives late in games where it seems to come through.
A lot.
What about Aaron Rodgers? We kind of mentioned that going to break. Like, what are the Packers doing? The Packers are known – have been known over the history of their franchise for being one of the most kind of sound, sane, steady organizations. Yeah.
This one's weird.
Uh-huh.
It's Aaron Rodgers. Why?
It's like he came into the league weird, and it looks like he's going to go, or came into the Packers weird, now he might be leaving the Packers in a very weird way.
Doesn't he owe back, like, $20 million if he were to...
I think it's $11 million for each of the next 2 years.
Yeah. So it's like $22 million if he just says, I'm done.
He owes it back?
Yeah, signing
based
bonus.
Off his contract, yeah, he would he'd have to pay that back.
I didn't realize that.
But, yeah. I mean, his endorsement deal is like that's nothing for him.
No,
the crazy thing is he was talking about... He said he could do it and still play football, but he would actually like to be the Jeopardy host full-time.
They got like a 15% boost in the ratings. Or maybe it was 15 points. It was a lot whenever he hosted. I don't even know who's been hosting.
It's just a kind of bunch of guests, thing, right? So they just rotate in and out.
Would that be
apparently they only shoot like 45 days out of the year.
Yeah, they shoot them all like, I think they shoot, is it two or three a day? They'll go shoot for like a week or two.
Well, most of those shows are like that to where they just film.
I
think it's more than that a day. Like, I think they could do about four or five, and then they come back for the next day, and then... I'm sure the math would add up if you do a show every day during the week each year.
Yeah.
However many that is, and then take 45
52.
And do the math.
52 weeks. 52 times 5.
Yeah.
Unless they do days off or whatever.
But again, I'm not sure how many days they actually.
Yeah, they do.
Right.
Yeah.
They have the tournament champion. Oh, I don't know what the whole schedule is. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Would that be the weirdest transition of all time, like Pro Bowl quarterback to host of Jeopardy?
What's the closest one? Maybe like Strahan, doesn't he do
Good Morning America?
Hadn't he done that for a number of years now? I mean, he was just an NFL guy, right?
Did he come right out of the game? Well, he retired, though. This is like in your prime.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, he said he could do them both just based off his schedule. But, again, he doesn't want to play.
But that's the thing. He doesn't want to play for Green Bay. And who are the two teams right now that are most likely positioned?
49ers were trying to make a run at him, and then Denver, I would say, would be number one right now.
I think Denver's number one, too, because they did not take a quarterback. So they've got Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater, and John Elway loves to go snatch up quarterbacks who are unhappy or, you know. I mean, he's still got quite a few years left, I would think. He's playing at an incredibly high level.
Well, he had one of his best years just last year.
Did he win MVP last year?
That was
the
whole thing. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I just don't. If you're the Packers, like, what? Why can you not keep your quarterback happy?
Well, I mean, like, they don't draft any guys on offense.
I know.
And then,
well, they did get a wide receiver.
Well, this
in
year,
what round?
Amari.
Third. Amari Rodgers.
It's too late now, though, right? Like, I don't. Seems does Aaron Rodgers care what they did this year?
No, he's still frustrated with them not. It's one thing to draft Jordan Love, but apparently he said he had no idea that they were drafting another quarterback.
No.
And so he's like, you know, it's one thing if they just say, hey, we're going to draft a quarterback. We got to just in case
just
something were to happen.
Professional courtesy.
But, like, he's sitting on his couch, according to him, and he just hears that they've traded up, and he's like, oh, that's interesting. And then, boom, you draft a quarterback. And he's like, all right, fine, be that way. And then, of course, like, I mean, I guess he kind of has that Michael Jordan edge where it's just, like, tries to find any reason to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I mean, that drove him to have statistically one of his best years of his career.
It's just a wild move. Don't fully understand it. I mean, he's coming off of one of his best seasons, though. Like, what is there? Like, I guess.
Apparently, they told him in the offseason he wanted to be traded, and they said they'd trade him, but then they didn't.
Yeah, they backed off that.
So then he came back and had the best season ever, and now he wants to be traded again?
After he had the best season ever, they said they'd
trade
him.
Okay,
but why? Why does he want to be traded?
Yeah, if he just had the best season ever, does he not like Wisconsin?
I don't think he. I mean,
I don't think he's hurting for.
I think both parties
ad dollars. He's like State Farm, all that. I mean, he's, you know.
No, I think both parties are at fault. It's just he's hard to deal with, and they either need to decide that they're going to just deal with him and give him what he wants, or they should have just been ready to move on.
What does he want exactly? Sounds like now he wants out.
Well, now he just wants out.
Yes, three teams that he wants to go to are the 49ers, the Broncos, and the Raiders. Yeah, all West Coast. So it points to him wanting that Jeopardy gig.
Shorter flights.
That's what it is.
And also his fiance is a actress as well, so she's out on the West Coast.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people say, oh, gosh, it's the girl. She wants out of Green Bay, doesn't like Wisconsin.
He's also from the West Coast.
No, I know. Yeah, played at Cal. But it's weird to me that the Packers think they can win a standoff with a guy who hasn't talked to his parents in like 10 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's a weird.
It's like,
dude.
Guys, you're not gonna crack Aaron Rodgers. The guy's unflappable. Like, he will not talk to his family to bury the hatchet. He ain't gonna just let this one slide by and
right.
Do you guys
give
see
you
the,
what you want?
Do you guys see the pictures of him at the Kentucky Derby?
No.
Yeah, he was wearing a Turd Ferguson name tag as he was being interviewed.
Old Norm.
Hmm.
Also a Jeopardy.
Jeopardy tie. Reference from Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Huh. Okay. That is. Did he also wear like a funny hat?
I mean, it's a Kentucky Derby.
No, but like a an even funnier, like weird, creepy hat.
No, I thought his hairstyle was a little weird.
Yeah. What do you do if you're Green Bay? Is there anything they can do? If he just wants out,
yeah, I mean,
you just work a trade with Denver.
They can make him eat it. I mean, that's what Carson Palmer. People forget, but didn't this happen with Carson Palmer and the Bengals?
I think it's a lot different when you're comparing Carson Palmer to Aaron Rodgers, like the reigning MVP, arguably the best quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Carson a number one overall pick?
Yes.
I can't remember if he sat out a whole season, then they finally traded him to the Raiders. I can't remember.
Can't help you there, bud. Not sure.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
It's happened before. It feels like it's completely, bogus, but
I think it's a really bad look for you if you tell him to eat it.
Yeah, could you imagine being a Packers fan?
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, we have a generational talent who, even though you didn't give him the things he wanted, just won the MVP, and now you're just going to
– Like,
why would you do that to such a great player for your organization? Like, just even looking down the road.
It is, but if there's one organization that kind of has to do that, wouldn't it be the Green Bay Packers? They don't technically have an owner. They're owned by the city. When you look at their structure – whoever is in charge of that program has to really make sure that they're looking for the long-term success of Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that kind of goes back to more of why they drafted Jordan Love when they did, but how they've handled it is still the biggest issue. When you look at their general manager, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has said, it's like, you either take him or you take me. He's kind of gave them that ultimatum. It's like, I don't want to return under the current regime. And so I don't necessarily think it's a big problem with Matt LaFleur, because the way Green Bay is typically structured, he doesn't have as much of a say in who they're drafting as the GM does. Because, like, the way they're elected up there to run that organization, they're hired. It's just different than every other NFL organization.
Sure, sure.
So it is a little strange in how they're operating and comparing that to the rest of the NFL. And so, again, I don't agree with how they've handled it, but they're also at a crossroads, as you've mentioned, that you're not going to outlast Aaron Rodgers in a standoff. So they really are true definition of between a rock and a hard place, and I don't see how Green Bay is going to lose this some way or another. Like they're not winning. Like that's past. And I don't know what you do, because obviously Aaron doesn't want to come back, and it's one of those moves of, like, if you fire the general manager, you're showing that your quarterback has all the power in this organization.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep the current regime and Aaron doesn't come back, you're really just without a quarterback in the moment.
And that seems like a very bad place to be.
Because I don't have much faith in Jordan Love right now. Not to say he can't be good, but if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this year, Green Bay doesn't make the playoffs.
No.
I mean, Jordan Love wasn't even activated once last season.
Trade him. You can't tell him to eat it. And, like, if you trade him, at least maybe down the road you can have him back and, you know, have fan. If you just tell him to walk and pay back the money if he doesn't want to play, like, you've lost him as an ambassador for the Packers forever.
They've lost him already. I think so. The Bengals told Palmer. Palmer said, "I'd rather retire than come back and play." Like, trade me. They're like, "No, fine, retire." Because when you retire, the team still has your rights mm-hmm. for the end of whatever the
contract, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, but then the Bengals were like, I guess, started the year 4-2 with Andy Dalton as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, I mean, you're probably thinking about the Bengals recently. Back then, they were making the playoffs, like, mm-hmm. often.
Yeah, first-round exits.
So what do you think that was part of the problem. What do you think Aaron Rodgers would net in a trade right now at his stage of his career, you know? What would you give for Aaron Rodgers if you're the Broncos?
I'd give up 2 firsts.
A second,
and I wouldn't give more than 3, just because I don't know how much longer he's got in the tank. 2 firsts, a third, and a fourth. I think you could get by with that.
And then what, Drew Lock on top of that as well?
Yeah, you can have Drew Lock. Mm-hmm. Or Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah, take your pick.
Whichever one you want.
I don't know what the rules are on trading someone so quick after they've just gotten traded.
2 firsts, a third, and a fourth. Sign me up. I'm doing it.
But you got to remember, too.
The Bengals got more for Carson Palmer.
No, that's why I'm saying. I think it would take more than that, but if you're saying, would I do that, I would do that.
Yeah. My point for, like, Alex is, like, I think it's hard to compare the two. Like, I mean, it's the closest thing we got. I mean, the Bengals got a first and a second for Carson Palmer. So, Aaron Rodgers,
it's Denver, too, crazy. Because, one, you're trading him out of conference, which Palmer eventually went to the Cardinals, and that's in the NFC, mm-hmm. Bengals, AFC. And so
he went to the Raiders.
He went to the Raiders. When did he come back for the?
The Raiders was the trade.
Either way, he went to a different conference.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, that would be the situation if you trade him to Denver. But you have to look at it, like, if he's just sitting there doing nothing, you're just losing that value. And if he's not going to play for you and you realize that, you might as well get something. Like, you might look bad in the moment, but I think getting those couple of first-round picks are going to help you a lot more in the long run than just saying, yeah, you still owned his rights and you never did anything with him. Like, I mean, if you want some return on investment,
if
you got to
force him to retire and they don't get anything out of this, they're going to look way worse than they look now, and they already look bad. At least if you deal him, you can get something in return.
Yeah,
and him, you could probably get a lot.
I know, obviously, a very much different story, but the Texans now are like, man, we should have got rid of Watson when we had the chance. Now look at what they're mm-hmm, looking at.
True.
I mean, they could have got several first-round picks for him if they would have dealt him at the beginning of last offseason. So,
I guess what I'm saying is there's a precedent set that where you could hold him, almost force him into retirement, and then still trade his rights later.
That's true.
Unless he tells unless he legit says he doesn't want to play any more football.
Ever again.
Ever again.
What do you think Jeopardy host gets paid a year?
Plenty. I don't know.
Plenty, sure.
Yeah.
But not nearly what he's making now.
Well, I'm sure that they'd pay him what he demands.
Is he that good at Jeopardy, though?
I thought he did a good job. I don't know.
I honestly have no idea.
Like Davey said, the spike in viewership, like they'll pay the price for Aaron Rodgers if they're going to get a spike in viewership.
Yeah, but would that be a sustained spike, or was that just like a, hey, I'm going to tune in and check this out once? Oh, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. You're taking a chance with sports people who are fans of Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Just going to go check out the show and go, hey, I actually never watched this show before, and I like it.
Mm.
If it's even possible, people have not watched Jeopardy before.
I mean, no one's ever going to top Trebek, but I did think Aaron did a good job when he was hosting. Again, now, is that just because it was a small-time thing he did? But, I mean,
can he handle the daily or the non-daily grind of the Jeopardy schedule?
1 month out of the year grind.
We'll come back with more.
With the depot, right? Davey, are you ready for the depot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be.
I
gave him 20 minutes. And he's...
I got all my hockey picks in, though.
Okay. Oh, boy.
It's that time of the day of the week. It's Davey. It's the depot. It's the Davey Depot. Brought to you by the one and only, your host for today and every day, Davey Hudson. Take it away, Davey.
Thank you, Nate. I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. I know I certainly did not, but that's neither here nor there. We're feeling better. To get things going, the fact of the day, and I'll ask this question. Do you guys know the height of the tallest man ever recorded?
7'9".
The tallest man ever recorded was actually American giant Robert Wadlow. He was born in 1918, lived in 1940. He topped out at 8 feet, 11 inches.
I was a little off there.
A little bit. Yeah.
8'11"?
Yeah. It attributed to a pituitary gland issue as to why he was so big. But yeah, Robert Wadlow, tallest man ever recorded. Right now, I believe the tallest person is a man in Turkey who, I think it is Sultan Kosun is his name, but he's like 8'2". So... And that was like 2009, I think, whenever he ended up taking over the record for tallest living person.
Mm. Mm.
But I mean, it might be a while till Robert Wadlow is topped. But yeah,
might be a while. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I know I won't reach him, but it is what it is. I wouldn't want to be that tall, man. That's just like I kind of feel for somebody that is. So big. Like, there's not a whole lot you're able to do. And obviously, I mean, his lifespan was shortened greatly because of his height. But
it
is what it is. For the banger of the day, this is a song that I really, really enjoy. The band, they have some hits, but it's Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol.
Okay. I'm sure I'd remember it, but
yeah, I don't know. I've always enjoyed that song. I think it came out in like 2006.
Banger of the day.
Something along those lines. Gambling update. Had a good weekend. Kind of bounced back. I'd been just kind of like 50-50-ish, not making much, not losing much, but this weekend had a really good couple of days. Yesterday.
Is it true you've updated your baseball model?
I did, and since May got here, I decided to start putting forward my picks. Friday night, I didn't place them on action, but I went 3-0. But the money lines won pretty easily on Saturday. I had St. Louis over Pitt. They won 12-5. They had a grand slam in there early on. And then I also had the White Sox over Cleveland. White Sox won 7-3. So we're trying to get that going more. But hockey has really struggled the last month, but basketball for the NBA has been doing really well. A lot of hockey picks tonight, so we'll see how that goes. But I am interested to watch some games tonight. And my pick for today for the NBA, I'm going Washington -5. They're taking on the Pacers. They've been looking pretty strong as of late. But that game's at 7. And if I had to give a hockey pick, I would say I got a couple of options. I mean, I just the Flyers have been playing awful. I'm going to take the Pens. I got them at minus 165. But the Pens, obviously, they've still got some stuff to play for. The Flyers are done. So that's the gambling update. I haven't run my numbers for baseball, but I'll put those on action if I see anything worth taking today. But I don't know. Been having fun with that. But now it's that time where I get into the movie review. My voice is finally at a point to where I can give a full review.
Lucky us.
And teased it last week, but Sling Blade is the film I'm going to be reviewing. Okay. Yeah, this movie, very small budget, but Billy Bob Thornton plays Carl, who is a mentally challenged man that served time for in a mental institution for the murder. I'll get into that here in a second, but he befriends a kid that is Lucas Black. Lucas Black later had some other films as he got older, but all around really good film. But I'll get you started to kind of set the mood as far as how this...
He did the boy.
We start off, we're in a dark room, okay? And this young lady is interviewing Carl.
Is she in high school?
For like a high school project yearbook or something that. Yeah. And so she's asking Carl. And so I guess, so I'll start at the front and tell you, I lived out back on my parents' place most of my life in a little old shed that my daddy built for me. They didn't want me in the house with the rest of them. So I sat around in the shed looking at the ground. I didn't have no floor, but I had me a hole dug out to lay down in, a quilt or two put down there. My father was a hard-working man most of his life. Not that I can say the same for myself. I mostly just sat around in the shed, tinkered around with a lawnmower or two, went to school off and on from time to time. But the children out there, they're very cruel to me. Made quite a bit of sport of me, made fun of me quite a bit. So mostly, I just sat around out there in the shed. My daddy worked at the sawmill down at the planter mill for an old man named Dixon. Old man Dixon was a very cruel feller. Didn't treat his employees well or pay them well. Didn't pay my daddy too much of a wage, just barely enough to get by, I reckon. I reckon he got by all right. They used to come out, one or the other of them, usually my mother, feed me pretty regularly. So I know we made enough so I could have mustard and biscuits 3 or 4 times a week. But old man Dixon, he had a boy named Jesse Dixon.
He had a boy.
Jesse was more cruel than his daddy was. He used to make quite a bit of sport of me when I was down there at the schoolhouse. Is this Pruitt?
I was like, man, if you take out the raspiness, it kind of sounds like it's like a Pruitt accent.
Oh, goodness.
32 fellas from Arkansas.
Used to take advantage of the girls in the neighborhood. They used to say that my mother was a very pretty woman. They said that quite a bit. And when I'd be down there at the schoolhouse, I reckon you want me to get on with it, and I'd tell you what happened. So I reckon I'll tell you. I was sitting out there in the shed one evening, not doing much, just staring at the wall, and waiting on my mother to come give me my Bible lesson. I heard a commotion in the house, so I run up on the screened-in porch to look inside. I looked in, and I seen my mother laying on the floor without any clothes on. I seen Jesse Dixon laying on top of her. He was having his way with her. I just seen red. I picked up a Kaiser blade that was sitting on the door. Some folks called it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. It's got a long wood handle, kind of like an axe handle. With a long blade shaped like a banana.
I forgot he says that.
Sharp on one edge, dull on the other. It's what the highway boys used to cut down them weeds and whatnot. Yep. I went in the house, and I hit Jesse Dixon upside the head with it. Knocked him off my mother. I reckon that didn't satisfy me, so I hit him again in the neck with a sharp edge and just plumb near cut his head off. Killed him. My mother jumped up and started hollering, "What you killed Jesse for?" Well, come to find out,
My mother didn't mind what Jesse was doing to her. That made me madder than what Jesse made me. So I took the Kaiser blade. Some folks called it a sling blade. I called it a Kaiser blade. And it hit my mother upside the head with it. Killed her. Some folks asked me, if you had to do it over again, would you do it the same way? I reckon I would. Anyhow, they put me in here. Mm-hmm. And here I've been for a great long while.
So that's the start of the movie. And so as that sets the scene, we understand his backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he goes to live with Frank and his mom, Linda. But Linda, she has a boyfriend.
Well, at first he was staying in like a... Like, was he sleeping in the shop or something?
He was just kind of all around. He didn't really have a place to stay, but he befriended this young lad.
Ain't got
young
no gas
lad,
in it.
And they set him up with a guy that worked on, like, small engines because Carl's a whiz kid whenever it came to working with those engines.
Mm-hmm.
And
he tinkered with a lawnmower, too.
He was able to fix those, and so that's kind of what he did just to kind of pass the time. Had a nice little job doing that. But, again, he befriends Frank, and Frank's mom, Linda, offers to let Carl move in, but she's got a boyfriend who is Dwight Yoakam, and Dwight Yoakam's a jerk.
Dole.
Yeah, Dole. And so
Dole Hargraves.
Dole does not like Carl. He does not like Frank. He thinks Frank, lack of a wuss is the term we will use. Can't repeat a lot of that language. But anyway, Carl helps oversee Frank and his mother, looked after. Realizes Doyle is going to be a problem, and he's worried that Frank will possibly make the same mistake he did and eventually kill Doyle and have to live with that for the rest of his life. So Carl has the plan to send Linda and Frank to another friend's house one night, and then he shows up and he tells Doyle, "I'm about to kill him," and Doyle asks, "All right, well, we might as well tell him to bring an ambulance and a hearse." And so, and Carl takes that Kaiser blade.
No. So, no. Wrong. He takes a lawnmower blade.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have it that time.
You never see the Kaiser blade, the sling blade. They show him out in the shed. He's sharpening that
lawnmower blade. That is correct. I didn't have Wikipedia in front of me.
It's okay.
But he does take that.
Sad.
Carl, what are you doing with that lawnmower blade?
I reckon I aim to kill you with it.
Then great kills line. Doyle and calls the police to inform him, and then get sent back to the mental institution.
Two thumbs up?
Two thumbs up, man. It's a great film.
So. I think
it's
so,
a great
too.
Film.
It's incredible.
Vaughn was the other friend, played by John Ritter. Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
That's Sling Blade. That's The Depot. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll come back with more Three and Out.
Mm-hmm.
Hour three continues. I don't know how we're going to follow that up.
I was thinking I could use me another couple cans of that potted meat if you got any extra.
Love that movie, man.
Yeah.
What you doing with that lawnmower blade, Carl?
I aim to kill you with it. I love you, boy.
Classic. I'm going to have to watch that this week now. It's too good.
Mm-hmm.
Callum has mocked a really good Carl Pruitt.
Oh, man.
That needs to be not inside the group thread. That needs to be just put out there.
Mm.
It's too good.
I heard Billy Bob Thornton wore glass in his shoes so he could keep that face.
What? Really?
I don't know if it's true. It's just one of the things I heard from it throughout filming so he could maintain that face. He wore glass in his shoes.
That grimaced underbite. Underbite. Classic. Gonna have to watch it. So good. On HBO Max, apparently.
Okay.
Or HBO Alex? Plus, whatever.
Hasn't seen it. There should just be a list. Just some list, movies. I don't know how. Maybe in tiers, like if you're If you watch a lot of movies, you know, if you're only going to watch a few, like, here's the few you need to watch. If you're going to watch more, just to be, you know, an educated human being. Mm. American.
Mm-hmm.
Red-blooded American.
Red-blooded.
I don't know.
Sure. Sure. Have you heard any news on Juwan Mitchell? That seems like a done deal that's not been announced yet. Reminds me of the Joe Milton thing. It's like it's pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he's a guy who doesn't like a lot of fanfare. He's not on social media. He's not going to make a big announcement about it. He's just going to kind of show up and get to work. I like that.
That's what people are saying. We need a linebacker.
We do lead. Per sauces. We lead.
Okay.
Did we talk about that kid we got Friday?
No, we didn't. The transfer from USC.
Well, you weren't here, so I think we did talk about
him. Well, we mentioned him.
Did that happen Thursday?
I think it happened Thursday evening.
Yeah. You guys did mention him? Are you sure?
Yeah, we mentioned him.
Did you mention that Martavius French entered the transfer
portal? We did not. No.
So that is now two of the suspended four. Only Salter and Willis remain.
Fun. Like when you said that, I was kind of thinking of, you know, like a...
Like the Hateful Eight.
Like a group of bandits.
Fab Five.
Magnificent Seven, you know.
Yeah.
The four.
Suspended four. Hmm. The indefinitely suspended four. Dang it.
Well, people have been saying they're not all coming back.
Yep, they were right.
Yep, we're 50%, down to 50% now.
Mm. Don't like that. But yes, Caleb Tremblay, 6'5", 270, a four-star coming out of high school from Sacramento, California, entered the transfer portal. Coming to Tennessee. What do you think about that, Nate?
We need all the help we can get. Send them our way.
Apparently.
But aren't these people eating up slots, though? Like
for
recruiting? Isn't that what we said? Like, they haven't changed the rule yet. So every player you bring in has to be counted into some class.
Well, we can back count if we didn't fill the class this past
year. Yeah, and then
year.
You can count into the one that you're working on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't.
I think.
So I guess come one, come all is a bad philosophy. It needs to be. Come if you're good, don't if you're not. Like, we don't need to take guys that aren't going to play meaningful snaps. If they're going to help, then you bring them. Come on, we got to get back to our numbers. But still, I guess if you're down to X amount of players, you can only fill back up to 85 at whatever rate is allowed of getting 25 and keeping all 25.
Okay, so we have 11 enrolled now.
Okay.
No, I take that back. Because Isaac Washington has entered the transfer portal, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's 10 that are enrolled. We had 6 more sign a letter of intent, so that's 16, and we've now taken 4 transfers. So we still got 5 spots in this class.
Okay.
And if we don't use them, we can use them next year.
I don't know.
Back count.
I don't know how far. I guess you can.
You can.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've taken Caleb Tremblay, D-tackle, Joe Milton, quarterback, Chase McGrath, kicker, also from Southern Cal, and Hendon Hooker, quarterback from Virginia Tech.
Okay.
So you still got 5 spots in this class if you can fill them with transfers. So Juwan Mitchell would make 21. You still have, obviously, 4 more. And we need to sign 25 every year, if we can, to get back to the 85 number.
Mm-hmm.
But also... have lost a few players, obviously, out of their letter of intent or transfer portal once they get here. Isaac Washington. But no, I mean, are you going to turn down a 4-star D-tackle?
No.
No. No, you're not going to do that name. You wouldn't dare. But tell you what, though, we get Juwan Mitchell. Things are looking up. Because is that the position we're most scared of? I mean, obviously, it's basically just defense in general, but like linebacker, inside linebacker?
Inside linebacker. I think it has to be.
I mean, you get a 4-star that was Texas's leading tackler. As long as he stays healthy, you feel pretty good about him being on the field for just about every snap.
Yeah.
Meaningful snap, anyway.
Yeah, we need someone to pair with Will Albright up
you
the middle.
Need to stop. You need to stop. It's not going to be Will Albright. We had guys out. Jeremy Banks will be back. Hopefully Aaron Willis will be cleared from stuff. We got we looked at linebacker. Who else we have? Remember, Nate? We talked about how good we're going to be.
No, I mean, Solon Page is the third.
Do we really want Aaron Willis back?
Yes.
Started the spring
yes.
game.
He's the highest rated player in our class now. As long as he wasn't, you know, too far gone in the incident.
I think I'd rather have Martavius French back.
Well, he's gone. He's transfer portal. Like, there's, I just said that. You don't listen to the show.
Yeah, that was the start of the segment. That was the news.
We got Roman Harrison. Or is he going to be an end? In the he'll probably be an end. I love that they haven't updated. They haven't. Well, I don't know.
He's a speed. He's a 4-3, 3-4.
We are playing 4-3.
Okay.
So you got Jeremy Banks, Salon Page the third, Aaron Willis, Unique Valentine, Aaron Beasley. No, never mind. He's gone. That was stupid, Houston. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
He kicked a cat. Morvin Joseph.
Oh, that's on me. I was confusing Beasley with Willis.
Quaze Garland.
He apparently had
a good spring.
He started in the spring game.
Byron Young.
He and so
but they
Page
said he's
the
a
third.
Defensive end, right?
Byron Young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the JUCO guy. And then Tyler Barron, but he'll be a mm-hmm. D end. 6'3", 240. Bryson Eason is listed at linebacker.
Okay.
But he's I don't think he's gonna be a linebacker.
All right.
Tell me if this sounds like a linebacker to you. Bryson Eason. 6'2", 275.
No.
No. No. No. Byron Young, 6'3", 240. You can play linebacker at 6'3", 240. But you got to have the speed. Got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
You get Mitchell, that's a big boost. Huge.
Maybe just in time for Optimism Tuesday tomorrow.
Kind
of know.
I like where your head's at, Nate.
I mean, they said
like
he wasn't
going to
announce anything. They said he was just going to show up.
Does Mitchell boost you from 8-4 to 9?
No. But it makes me feel really good. Well,
you're learning, young Alex.
It makes me feel really better.
That's a content question right there.
8-4.
That's a good question.
I mean, just a little bit of defense is all we need. Just a smidge of defense.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Feel good.
All right, final segment of the show. Next. Final segment of the program. If you miss any portion, check out the podcast. If your Monday's off to a good start.
Mine is, thank you.
Good. Really
good.
Excited for Optimism Tuesday tomorrow.
You don't sound excited for it. Is that sarcasm, Nate?
Nah. We got an SEC baseball series this weekend. We can hopefully put some whoop ass on the Missouri Tigers and get set up for Arkansas, number one team in the country.
That'd be a good test for us. I was upset when we lost the Vanderbilt series. It'd be nice to take one from Arkansas. That'd be something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be driving back from Memphis to catch that series.
Really?
Yep. My sister's high school graduation is that Friday, so I got to drive back Saturday to maybe catch Saturday's game and then catch Sunday's game.
There you go. Mm-hmm. You have plenty of time.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's going to be a night game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's like 6, I think. We read it earlier. Yeah, you probably weren't paying
30,
attention.
I think.
It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. 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 Anything we missed today?
I mean, there's lots of other little NFL draft storylines that came out of it, I guess, here and there. But
we can touch on some of those tomorrow. But was there anything big that happened over the weekend that we just completely whiffed on today?
Kentucky Derby. Did you watch it?
No.
I did.
Did you? Yeah. What'd you think?
I do think Bill Baffert is either really, really good at cheating or the best horse trainer to ever walk
Bob
the planet.
Baffert.
What'd I say, Bill?
Yeah.
It was a B. Mm-hmm. Close enough. Yeah, Bob Baffert.
It's all right. It might be instinct to think Bill when it comes to cheating.
Fair enough. Good point by you. All right.
Was it? I thought it was a good race.
No, I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
No.
Medina Spirit, that's who won, right?
Mm-hmm. Got out on the front. And
was that the favorite?
No. Yep.
Wait, no.
No. Yes. No. Which one is it?
Was not.
Not the favorite.
No, I can't remember. What was the favorite's name? This is how fast horse racing goes. I can't remember the one they talked about all day long. Kind of dark gray horse.
I think it came in like third or fourth, the favorite.
Tennessee has offered 5-star strong forward, Emini Bates.
Small forward.
Oh, yeah. Decommitted from Michigan State.
E2.
Essential quality.
Well, he was committed to
Michigan State.
Oh, really?
He just decommitted.
I didn't know
this
that.
Last week, yep. Tennessee. That's big news.
Got in on that.
Yeah.
He Instagrammed. Said he's very excited about the offer.
Central quality got a little too wide early in the race. Had a longer trip.
Mm.
They let Medina Spirit, a speed horse, just sit out front but not get pushed, not burn out. Had enough down the stretch. Smart racing, really.
Mm-hmm.
With no other real speed horses in the race, so you put a speed horse out front, don't push it. Sometimes you got to pay the closers can't close.
I'm sorry, I just don't know that much about horse racing. It really
they just run in a circle, and
that's all I do.
You try to pick the one that's going to finish first.
I look at the horses and go, "Wow, they're moving fast."
We're just here. What y'all running for?
And then when they make that final turn to see some horses pick it up from like middle of the pack to like, right on the finish.
Oat bag now.
What?
Oat bag. I thought you remember the Seinfeld skit or comedy set about the horse racing. It's pretty funny.
Mm-mm.
Jerry's talking about when he went on a horseback ride once, and how he got the worst one, and this U-shaped steed, his feet were almost dragging the ground.
I'm not remembering that.
Me neither.
It goes with his, what are guys thinking? Just walking around, just looking around.
I'll check that out.
It's good.
Probably won't, though.
He's talking about the horses. I get done with the race, and I'm like, why did we all run? We're just here.
I watched George Steinbrenner's scenes in Seinfeld that ended up getting cut because they were so bad this weekend. Because
I was
watching an interview with Larry David, and he was like, yeah, we got him to come in to do some scenes, and they were so bad I had to cut them.
Really? And so then Larry David just voiced Steinbrenner?
Yeah,
he
said it worked better with his Steinbrenner voice because it was more...
it was funny.
Yeah, it was humorous compared to actual George Steinbrenner doing it.
That kind of makes sense.
Adds up, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did it that way, though.
Right.
It was just funnier. Especially if Steinbrenner stunk at acting. And he doesn't strike me as a
very surprise you?
Funny guy.
Doesn't surprise me one
Real
bit.
Funny guy.
But no, I don't think I missed anything else, do we?
No, I don't think so. David, did we miss anything?
I think we're good.
Okay.
I don't know. I hadn't really been paying much attention.
No,
you should. It's important.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's Davey Hudson, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate his contributions.
Hey, he's got a big Zoom. He's got a Zoom meeting to concentrate on.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
It's true.
Look, Alex, here's the deal. I don't care. He's on this show for 3 hours. He needs to give me 3 hours. Not 2.5. Not 2.25. Actually, 2.5 would be a huge upgrade from what we normally get.
Very true.
But it needs to be 3. Just like you, forgetting that we said exactly what you said the minute before you said it.
Mm-hmm.
You get that.
You're not locked in. You're not locked in. You're not committed. Sad. Tragic, really.
You hate to see it.
You do. Well, we'll try to do better tomorrow. That's all we can do, really.
No, tomorrow will be easy. It's optimism. Tuesday.
I gotta find some stuff.
Wait, when's the season finale? Of The Juice come out?
Today?
Sometime this week. They didn't say one. I should have made today my final.
Did it take
how
them
many
five
episodes
days?
Have there been?
Five. This is the fifth.
There's been four already.
There's been four. Why does it take them a week to edit for a 10-minute video?
At what point did we? Because
they fired everybody.
Watch, Davey. Which one was the one all about the support staff? Was that the third one? What was the fourth one?
They were so bad, I can't remember.
I'm going to have to go find a playlist.
Yeah, we'll do that.
I should have made today my final day so I could miss out on Optimism Tuesday.
I watched all the first one.
You're welcome to, bro. You don't want to come in for Optimism Tuesday?
I quit half of
we
the
We don't
second
want you
one.
Here. Especially if you're going to bring this junk.
We only want people that want to be here, Alex.
Volunteers, not hostages.
Yeah.
If we talk more Emony Bates, I can speak on Optimism Tuesday, but if it's football, I'm out. I won't pay attention.
It'll be everything, and it'll be optimistic. It'll be lovely. It'll be a joyous day.
You don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in. Tune in tomorrow. But keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.